For more information on Victory Faith Centre and to download sermons at no charge, visit www.victoryfaithcentre.org.au.
Of the Lord, you know, we don't just come to church expecting nothing. You expect nothing, you get nothing. You come to church expecting that the Lord is going to meet you. The Lord is going to talk with you. Of course, we give things to the Lord. We give ourselves, our worship, our time. But we have to give our attention to what God is wanting to do in us and through us. And coming under the Word of God, as the Spirit of God is present, is very, very important. We're looking at the Word working in us, part 3. Let's open in prayer. Heavenly Father, I ask that every person's eyes and ears be open to hear your word today, and that there would be an open heaven for us to receive from you in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. We've learned over the last couple of sermons related to this that the word is not natural but spiritual. And we know that from the parable of the sower in Mark 4, it shows us that the heart is the ground for the seed of the Word of God. In fact, God's Word is called the seed, the most important seed around, and that is that God's Word must be planted, and that it's powerful. Hebrews 4 verse 12 tells us that it's powerful, quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, and that it's the truth. So as we approach the Word of God in the right way, that's when things can happen. If we approach the Word of God in the wrong way and think that we can be half-hearted about the things of God, then God can't work in our lives the way you might like. So we realise that God loves us and He's expecting our love towards Him. Look at Revelation 3. We need to go through some scriptures here because we're living in a time in church history. We call it the Laodicean time of church history, where there's a lot of blindness. There's a lot of things happening all around us amongst the churches that are just not of God at all. And so let's have a bit of a read about what it says about the Laodicean period of church history here, and we'll start from verse 14 because this is very relevant for us and how we must, as Laodicean Christians that are open to the Word and open to the Spirit of God, how we must act and have the Word working in us. It says in verse 14, "And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth." There's a warning there. There's a great warning. God wants us hot Christians. The Bible talks about God's word burning as fire within us, and he wants our works, notice it's talking about works there, our works to be hot for him. Now, that only comes out of a right heart towards him. We should realise that. Verse 17, "Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked." Now, there's people saying this type of thing. Oh, look at how good everything's going, how wonderful everything is. And yet, there's a profound blindness and lack of knowledge, because it says, "and knowest not." And if you go into the book of Haggai, it talks about this type of thing. And we see here that it's saying, you're saying all of these things, you have need of nothing, and yet you know not these things. Well, where's knowledge deposited in? It's in our heart, isn't it? The knowledge of the Word of God, the knowledge of Christ, the knowledge of God's will is deposited in our heart. It's talking about people who are erring or not seeing because they're not knowing. Not knowing. Now, what do we know about John 8? It says, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We're going to read that soon. So we see that if people are knowing not about things that are fundamental in the Christian walk, and prosperity is fundamental, but if you're not prospering in the right way, that is the biblical way, then you can be in a wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked state and not even know it. Now, if you approach the Word of God as the truth, and that's what you build your life on, then you will know the truth. You won't be in this lack of knowledge. Verse 18, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire. Remember, I talked about the fire of God's word, and that gold is the purity, and that thou mayest be rich. So God's not against rich, is he? He talks about it. It's right through Scripture. God made Abram rich. And white raiment, talking about holiness, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that they mayest see. So there's an opportunity here for people to get it right. To get it right. Opportunity for repentance here, isn't there? Opportunity for change, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. So we look forward to the time when Laodicean type Christians, many of them, will say, yes, I see that this is the way I've been going, but it's been wrong. And those that don't change, the scripture tells us that there'll be a spewing out. Spewing out, obviously, from the body of Christ. But verse 19 is a real key for us. As many as I love, who's talking here? Jesus. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Okay? Be zealous, therefore, and repent. So does God love you and me? He does. He does. So he will be rebuking and chastening. He'll be correcting us in our life as well. We have to be open to that. Have to be open, because he's the author and finisher of our faith. He's working on our faith. He's seeking to perfect us. Author and finisher of our faith. And so this is very important for us to see. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. And God works with his word. He works with his word because it's with the word that we can get right into the spirit and soul, into the inner man, and things can change. Praise the Lord. Have a look at Psalm 7, verses 9 and 10. Psalm 7, verses 9 and 10 gives us some insight here into this working of the Word in us. And it says here in verse 9, O let the wickedness of the wicked come to an end, but establish the just. For the righteous God trieth the hearts and reins. It's important for us to see this, that your heart is being tried, tested. Okay? Your heart is being tried by God to see that it is working correctly. The word reins is talking about the working of that the heart there. So the right, it says, God establish the just. That's you and me. We've been justified by the blood of Christ. God wants to establish us. He doesn't want us in this weak position, blind position, not knowing the truth position. He doesn't want us in that position at all. He wants us in a strong position where we know the truth and the truth makes us free. That's where God wants us. He wants to establish us. But what happens if a person won't allow that? A word of correction comes or a word of rebuke comes, but they won't receive that. What happens then? Well, God is trying the heart, remember. He's trying the hearts and reins. And notice what it says in verse 10. My defense is of God. And some people just stay there. So my defense is of God. God is my defense. It's a good thing to say. But listen, it says there, which saveth the upright in heart. So it's connected with the heart. The inner man must be in a state whereby it's responsive to God. Now, I've said this before, but I remember dealing with a man that was making positive confessions, confessing, but all types of things were wrong in his heart. Not that I could see into his heart, but I saw his words and actions were right out of kilter. And of course, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And of course, we could see faith by people's works. That's what the scripture tells us. So you can tell a tree by its fruits. You can see a person's life by what they're saying and doing. Are they responding to God? Well, then you will be established. You'll be established. The Bible talks about being established in righteousness. And you want God, the manifestation of God's defense in your life? Well, you've got to be a person that is upright in heart, because God saves the upright in heart. So there are things connected to the working of God's word in our heart. You shall know the truth, knowing the truth. You can't be like those blind people we looked at in the Revelation 3 who don't know. They don't know. And you've got to say, well, how is it that they don't know? Well, we know Israel has a veil over their heart at the moment. The Bible talks about that veil being taken away, which would be at a future time when there's a few prophetic historical events about to come and the whole of the nation of Israel will start to turn towards the Lord. But there'll be other things that'll happen as well in the church. We'll talk more about that in the future. What we do know here is, on an individual basis, each one of us must be people that understand that our heart is a ground for the Word of God. It has to be that good ground type of heart where the word comes in, not choked by thorns and thistles and all types of other things. It can't be having a stony type of heart either, where there's hardness of heart, resistant to the things of God. But it's got to be, and we can make decisions which will keep our heart before the Lord, as it says there, upright. Upright or perfected. So let's have a look at John 8. Let's go back to John 8. We've talked a lot about this over the last few weeks and we'll continue to do so. There's a few things related to our heart and the way we respond or see the Word of God. If we don't see the Word of God in its right way, then there's going to be some major problems in your Christian walk. You just won't have the victory manifesting that you should have manifesting in you. Now, we'll go down to... Jesus has been speaking to Pharisees and he says a few things. You can read it for yourself. There's a lot in John 8 talking about the Word and talking about truth, and there's a lot in there about... what happens when people reject the word. We'll start for verse 29. This is Jesus speaking. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. You know, we should be saying, I do the things that please the Lord. Okay? Because faith pleases God. And by faith say that. I hear the voice of the Master. I'm always in the right place at the right time because I'm led by the Spirit of God. I do the things that please God. You might say, well, I know yesterday I told a lie. That didn't please the Lord. You should repent of that if you did that. But you've got to make these statements in your life. Reflect the truth. Verse 30, as he spake these words, many believed on him. Well, here we see something that's very, very important, isn't it? That the word of God has to come, but then people believe. All right? It's not no one believes anything, or we can believe just anything. Everyone believes something. But it's got to be particular words that are really believed on if there's going to be effectiveness in our life in the Christian walk. Too many wrong words get into people's lives and they don't believe the right way. We talked a lot about that in the sermon, Faith in God Agrees with Truth. So as he spake these words, many believed on him. So the words of faith that are preached, you can also believe those words and things can happen. All right. Verse 31, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. Here's the second part. It's not just, oh yes, I heard the word and I believed, but there's got to be a continuing on. Continuing on. And so in our Christian walk, there is a continuing on in the word of God. Continuing on in the word of God. A persistence of faith. Persistence. Continuing on. Now notice that verse 32 starts with the word and, which tells us that it's connected to the previous verse. So if you're continuing in God's word and you're disciples of God, of Christ, and specifically here, and that is by continuing in God's word, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now, knowing the truth is in your heart. Okay? It's in your heart. Have you ever been looking at a Bible passage and you've been reading it and suddenly you realise, that's what, I get that. And you might have read it a few times before. But now it's becoming, something's becoming really alive to you. And what happens is the more you get into the Word, the more the Word is going to speak to you. It's going to take, because it's a supernatural book. This is a book that's not just like any old book. It's not like a novel that's been written, you know, by man. It's not that at all. It's Jesus said, my words are spirit and they are life. It's a spiritual book. It's spiritual words. And so the more you get into the Word of God, the more it will speak to you. The more it will, the Bible talks about it being an engrafted word. It'll become more and more a part of you. If you haven't experienced this, then let me encourage you to get into the Word. And I think I said it the other day, if you doubled your word input tomorrow, or put more priority on the Word of God tomorrow, it's not going to do you any harm. Do you think that'd do you any good? It'd be better for you. So the priority on the Word of God is so very, very important. So we see here, continue in my word. Continue in my word, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Okay, so these people were very much of a natural way of thinking, a fleshly minded, Bible talks about carnally minded way of thinking, not spiritually thinking. A word person will be a spiritual thinking type of person. They won't look at the world as a wonderful place to make your home in and to conform to. No, they'll see it as a fallen thing. They'll see it for what it is, a place where sin is exalted many times, and there is the renegade spirit, the god of this world, little g, god of this world, the renegade spiritual leader, Satan, over it. So they understand. You see, I've often wondered, how is it and that like a place like Hollywood, let's say, has all these wonderful resources, huge amounts of resources being used predominantly in the wrong way. And the reality is it has to be sometime in the future that all that technology is used for the gospel and the kingdom of God. And you might not think that'll ever happen. But the fact is that that technology is not for the devil's use. It's for God's use. Okay? And I think we've got to really realise this, because the revelation you can have about the future is that God will have his will done in the future. We have to see it in our own life, that God will have his will done in our life if only we open up ourselves to the things of God more and more. So, verse 33, they answered him, "We be Abraham's seed and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, you shall be made free?" So they're not thinking right, are they? They're not thinking right. Verse 34, Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin." So he's pointing to the key problem in their life. They're not free from sin. They're linked to sin. Verse 35, "And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth ever." So the son, and everyone attached to the son, that is believing on him, will abide forever in the house of God. Verse 36, "If the son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." Free from sin, free from the things that would hold you back, free from the curse. Free indeed. Free indeed. Verse 37. Now this is a really important verse for us to understand what happens when the Word of God doesn't have place in people. Where does it have to have place? In people's hearts, isn't it? It's got to be in your heart that the Word of God has place. It's got to have place in your life. It's got to have place in your life. If you give place to something in your life, what happens? You give time, energy, effort towards it. And people have all types of things they give place to over and above the Lord. No? Some people work 7 days a week. Do you think they're giving place to the Lord there? How can they? You know? Things like that. So we see here in verse 37, "I know that ye are Abraham's seed," and that's in the natural, "but ye seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you." So what happens to a society, to a people, to individuals if God's word doesn't have place in them?
They deteriorate.
Things go backwards. They start to do the things that are opposite to what God wants, opposite to what they should be doing. Here these people are seeking to kill Christ. What should they be doing? They should be seeking to believe him, love him, serve him. See? But they're doing the exact opposite. And he says, he uses the word because. Because, that means this is the reason why Because my word hath no place in you. So when you look at the society around us and you see persecution against Christian things, blasphemy and all types of things, the reason for that is because God's word doesn't have place. You see what I'm saying? God's word is truth. Thy word is truth, Jesus said in John 17:17. Let's continue on. There's a couple more scriptures we want to go through here. Verse 38. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your Father. Okay, so he goes further down. Let's go down a bit further in this scripture. Verse 44. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. This is a great truth for us to take hold of, is that those outside of Christ are not in no relationship. They have a relationship with the father of lies. Okay? And they don't have God as their father. You see, there's not a midway family where I'm not for the devil, but I'm also not for God. You're not for God, you're for the devil. And it's a black and white thing. Right through Scripture, this is the case. Notice what it says in verse 46. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do ye not believe me? It's a big question, isn't it? If Jesus is speaking the truth, and we know, you know, for example, John 14 verse 6, I am the way, the truth and the life, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. If he's speaking that truth, he also says, I am the light of the world, and many, many others, I'm the door. If he's speaking the truth, the question is, why do you not believe me? Why do you not believe? Individually, we need to ask this question, why am I not believing? And we could look at society and say, why is the society not believing? Well, the answer is in verse 47. He that is of God heareth God's words. Fundamental thing. It's a spiritual hearing. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Okay? So it's a fundamental thing that we must hear God's words. We're of God. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. So if you go out and randomly select anyone on the street and you find that they're not a Christian, and you start to speak to them about the things of God, what will you find?
Resistance.
There will be resistance. There will be that. Because they're not of God yet until they're born again, until they have a heart for God. Then there's the capacity to hear God's words. The capacity to hear God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. Ye are not of God. What a sad thing. But we have great hope in the Scriptures. We know that there are things that are going to come to pass, which will open up the whole of not just this society, but across the world. Have a look at 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles. And I'll first of all look at 2 Chronicles 16 verse 9. And then I want to go back and start to work through three chapters of 2 Chronicles. Now, this will lead into the next sermon series, which is spiritual lessons from the reign of King Asa. So I want to overlap this one with that because it's so relevant to what we're talking about here and what King Asa experienced. And we'll read about this starting from 2 Chronicles. And we're looking at 2 Chronicles 16, verse 9. 2 Chronicles 16, verse 9. Now remember, we've been talking about the heart, the Word of God in the heart, the Word of God working in us. It's in the heart. Knowing the Word, that's in the heart. Having your eyes open and your ears open, your spiritual eyes and ears open. You know, we saw there were people that were blind and didn't know. It's in the heart. It's in the heart. Okay? That's what it says in verse 9. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Herein thou hast done foolishly, therefore from henceforth thou shalt have wars. Now, we're going to look and find out why God says that last part to King Asa. And you can probably get just from reading this that his heart was not perfect towards God at that time. And what happens when your heart's not perfect towards God? Bad things start to happen. Things get out of kilter. Things aren't working properly. And judgment comes in and so on. Can our heart be perfect toward God? Yes. God is God. You can have a heart that is perfectly inclined towards God. Perfect toward God. Okay? It doesn't mean that everything necessary. You might make mistakes. But if your heart is perfect towards God, God will be able to use that. And as it says there, show himself strong in the behalf of you. That's a good thing. That's a very good thing. But you have to make decisions so that you're not resisting the things of God when the things of God come to you. When the Word of God comes to you. As Jesus said, if you continue in my Word, you shall be my disciples indeed. So disciple talk about discipline, doesn't it? Talks about a bit of discipline. Yes, you have to study the Word. Yes, you have to hear the Word. Yes, you have to put yourself under the preaching of the Word and so on. And you need to adjust yourself if necessary. You need to change if necessary. And not be resistant, not be hard-hearted or stiff-necked, as the Bible talks about. Because all of that type of behaviour and attitude does not help for God to be able to show himself strong on your behalf. Let's go back. I want to start to journey through 2 Chronicles. We'll start from verse 1 of 2 Chronicles 14, and we're going to go through the next three chapters, and this will lead into my next sermon related to this. So there'll be overlap. But it is such a wonderful section of scripture to show you about this whole area of how do you respond to the Word of God or not? How do you respond to the messengers of God or not? And King Asa, you might say, well, he was a king. How does that relate to me? Well, are you a king? You're a king and a priest, aren't you? So it's relevant. It's relevant. Let's go back to verse 1 of 2 Chronicles 14. So Abijah slept with his fathers and they buried him in the city of David, and Asa his son reigned in his stead. In his days the land was quiet 10 years, and Asa did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. And notice there's a colon the end of verse 2, which means this is what he did. For he took away the altars of the strange gods and the high places, and break down the images and cut down the groves, and commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers and to do the law and the commandment. So what's he doing here? Getting all the wrong type of worship and thinking out of the way, isn't he? Getting rid of that. Verse 3 is all about that type of thing. Destroying all the things that aren't of God. Get that out. And then verse 4, issuing a command for Judah, because King Asa is the king of Judah here. Command for Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers. So there's a seeking and a doing, and to do the law and the commandment. Are we also commanded to seek and to do? Yes. Very relevant to us as well. So we see here he was doing that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. Destroying that which is not of God. Get it out. Get it out of the way. You know, that could be a fairly violent thing. But also putting in place the right things so that people will seek out the right things and do the right things. Verse 5. Also, he took away out of all the cities of Judah the high places and the images, and the kingdom was quiet before him. Wouldn't it be wonderful to have government like that, where all those high places, the exalted places, putting all the wrong things are taken out, the images taken out. And that is the result in this particular kingdom. And the kingdom was quiet before him. In other words, there was peace. It wasn't war, it was peace. People had peace, quiet. Okay? Verse 6. And he built fenced cities in Judah, for the land had rest. And he had no war in those years, because the Lord had given him rest. So what's he doing here? In this time of rest, of nothing coming against the kingdom of Judah, what's he doing? He's building in preparation. He's doing something in preparation. He's establishing in preparation. You know, we can look at it in our life. You might have a peaceful life, but you don't just sit back and say, oh, everything's fine. And No, you're in a sinful world. You should be constantly continuing in the Word of God and building, establishing, getting stronger, constantly, continually. So, verse 6, because the Lord had given him rest. Verse 7, therefore he said unto Judah, let us build these cities and make about them walls and towers, gates and bars, while the land is yet before us, because we have what? Sought the Lord our God. We have sought him, and he hath given us rest on every side. So they built and prospered. Built and prospered. Built and prospered. Think that. Think of those words. Build, or building and prospering. There's other scriptures that says, as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. That is a spiritual principle. As long as you seek the Lord, God will make you to prosper. Well, verse 4 told us that he commanded Judah to seek the Lord. Obviously, there were people that were obedient to that command. So that's good, isn't it? That's good. We've been commanded to seek the Lord too. You want rest in your life? You want peace? Seek the Lord and do the Word. So they built and prospered in verse 7. But they were building. Just think about that. They were building. They weren't doing nothing. They were building. They weren't just sitting back and you know, oh, we can enjoy all these luxuries. And no, they were building. They were setting their hands to do things. And they were prospering. Verse 8, and Asa had an army of men that bear targets and spears out of Judah, 300,000, and out of Benjamin that bear shields and drew bows, 280,000. All these were mighty men of valour. So he had a good army. Verse 9, and there came out against them. So here's the test. Here's a test. Okay? What have they been doing? Seeking the Lord, doing the law of God, the word of God, and building. Building. Here's a test. Verse 9. And there came out against them Zerah the Ethiopian with an host of 1,000,000. That's 1,000,000. And 300 chariots, and came unto Marishah. Then Asa went out against him, and they set the battle in array in the valley of Zephathah at Marishah. And Asa, what did he do? Praise the Lord. Look at this. Verse 11. And Asa cried unto the Lord his God. So what's he doing? Oh, this should give you joy. He seeks the Lord. So remember seeking the Lord? Yeah, in the good times and the bad. Verse 11, and Asa cried unto the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee, and in thy name we go against this multitude. O Lord, thou art our God, let not man prevail against thee. This is getting God involved. Understanding that, you know, he had this great big army of men of great valour. He could have said, oh, I trust in that. But no, he realised that it's the Lord that gives the victory. It's the Lord which will give you something of worth. Verse 12, so the Lord smote the Ethiopians before Asa and before Judah, and the Ethiopians fled. Notice it's the Lord smote the Ethiopians. Yes, he would have used Asa's army, but the Lord did it. And Asa and the people that were with him pursued them unto Gerar, and the Ethiopians were overthrown, that they could not recover themselves, for they were destroyed before the Lord and before his host, and they carried away very much spoil. So think about this. We read before, they built and they prospered. They're still prospering. Why? Because they're still seeking the Lord, even though this great big, huge army of 1,000,000 men came against them. They still sought the Lord. They didn't allow the wrong things to get in, the wrong thinking to get in. They still sought the Lord. We must be people that continue to seek the Lord, to know the truth, and there's freedom that comes from that. Verse 14, and they smote all the cities round about Gerar, for the fear of the Lord came upon them, and they spoiled all the cities, for there was exceeding much spoil in them. They smote also the tents of the cattle, and carried away sheep and camels in abundance, and returned to Jerusalem. Well, as you probably realise from 2 Chronicles 16 verse 9, we're going to finish there now. As you probably realise from 2 Chronicles 16 verse 9, things start to go downhill, but there are reasons for that, and we'll look at some of the reasons for that and the lessons we can get from it for ourselves. So we've gone through chapter 14, but we'll touch back over that in the next sermon, and we're going to see what happened to King Asa in his life and how he responded to the word of God later on. Remember, Jesus said, continue in my word. Continue means continue to believe it, continue to receive it, continue to sow it into your life, continue on in it. Don't look to the right hand or to the left. Keep on going forward. Don't go backwards. So let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you. We thank you, Lord, for your word working in us. We thank you that it is a powerful word. We thank you for that promise that we shall know the truth and the truth shall make us free. And Father, we commit ourselves to knowing your truth. We thank you for that freedom that will arise within and through us and around us. Father, help every one of us in our lives to walk in your freedom and be free indeed. Help every one of us to see your truth. In Jesus' name.